Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in to our children's morning service. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. We pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house this morning. Those that are visiting, we welcome you especially, and as well to our children and young people from our Sabbath school. We look forward to you taking part in a little while this morning. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you're with us today. Just go through the announcements as briefly as possible, but there's a bit to them, so we'll rattle through them as quickly as we can. Do remember tonight's another special meeting here in the church. We're having a special testimony meeting at 7 p.m. with our brother Kyle Boyd, who's here all day, speaking to the children this morning and testifying tonight. We're looking forward as God's servant will come again tonight. And let me encourage you and invite you to be here and come and hear how the Lord has blessed and undertaken for Kyle, how the Lord has saved him and kept him over these years. Remember as well, for those that are saved, the time of prayer at 6:30 in the upper room. We value, of course, the prayers of God's people before each and every meeting. Wednesday evening is a prayer meeting and a Bible study at 8 p.m. and God willing, I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct that service. And as always, we invite each and every one to come aside and to spend time in God's house studying his word together. Then on Friday evening, God willing and weather permitting, we're having our church barbecue here in the church grounds. And let me encourage and invite each and every one that is here this morning to sign up. The sign-up sheet's in the front. If you can give us your name and how many is coming with you, just so we can finalise all of the eats in terms of ordering in the burgers and the sausages for the barbecue. And as well, ladies, we're thankful to those that have signed up already for bringing the desserts. And we invite, as I said, each and every one, come this Friday evening. If you come for around 6:30, and then hopefully the food will be served by about 7, and then the time of fellowship. There's a bouncy castle for the children, and times of fellowship. It's always special times whenever we can gather together as a band of God's people, and even as a church here, to have fellowship one with the other. Just bring your wee chair now, like you did last year, for outside, please. But as I said, each and every one that's here this morning, you are all welcome. It'll be lovely to see each and every one with us on Friday evening. The service is next Sunday then. No Sunday school that finished this morning for the summer term. But the normal times of worship are 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both services. And can I say that each one that is here this morning would love to see you back every Sunday joining with us. The children won't be taking part every week, but I'll be here ministering in God's word and would love to see each one gathering aside to worship the Lord in his house here each and every Lord's Day, 11:30 and 7 p.m. Now, it was meant to be building fund today, but I forgot to announce it last week. If you're come prepared today, well done. You didn't need me to announce it. If you haven't, then please either bring it in this evening or even next Sunday as well. We'll mention that again next Sunday, those offerings towards the building fund of the church. Can I say a word of thanks to each one who contributed towards the youth offering last week? That came to a fantastic total of £487 towards the youth work in our church, and we certainly do value that giving, and we want to thank you in the Saviour's name for your giving towards that work. And then a couple of matters came from Presbytery. First of all, can we mention to you, for prayer, the new students that will be commencing their studies in the will of the Lord under Presbytery this coming September. Dr. Paul Ferguson, who was a minister over in Singapore at Cornerstone Church, is now coming under our Presbytery and will be studying for a period of 1 year before going before the examination board. He will be entering in this September, and then three other students for the four-year ministerial course, Thomas Hanna from Annalong, Adam Kennedy from Sandown, and Christopher Orr from Newton Abbey. Do remember each of these men in your prayers as the Lord has led them into his work, and in the Bible College pray that the Lord will undertake for them. And of course, continue to remember the students as a whole. One more week of examinations. By this Friday, they'll all be finished for another season, and do pray that the Lord will undertake for them. Reverend Stephen McRae also received a call and accepted it to the congregation in Ballinahinch, and he will be installed in that church at the start of July. So do remember the Reverend McRae, remember the church in Carrick as his time there comes to an end, and pray for the Reverend McRae, his family, and for the Ballinahinch church that the Lord will bless as this new chapter opens. There's also the latest magazines from Let the Bible Speak in the front porch. Please make sure you take your copy. There's copies for each and every family, each and every household. So do please make sure you take your copy as you leave today. One other announcement. As a congregation, we'd like to extend our sympathy to our brother Ronnie and to our sister Hazel on the passing this morning of Ronnie's sister Iris. We had been remembering them in prayer over the last number of days, and she passed very swiftly into the presence of the Lord this morning. We're thankful she was saved. She was ready to meet her Lord. And do remember her family in England, remember Ronnie and Hazel as well, and all of the family circle, that the Lord would draw near and be very precious to them in these days. We're going to commence now with the hymn 697. The hymn 697, the page is 457. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. 697, we'll stand as we sing, please. Amen. Let's still ourselves in God's presence this morning. Unite our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this morning. Thankful again, O God, for the opportunity of bowing before a thrice holy God. We're thankful for the reminder, even in that opening praise, that Thou art the great Creator of heaven and of earth. Thou art the one who has created all things, even by the power of the Word of God. And we thank thee and praise thee that all things were created good. Lord, we do rejoice, O God, in thy creation. We rejoice, O God, in the perfection of it. We rejoice even in the sustaining of it, how thou hast sustained thy creation over all of these thousands of years. We thank thee and we praise thee, O God, that thou art a God who is in control. We thank and praise thee that thou art the God of salvation. We thank thee this day that salvation even is, as we can see behind us in the wall, salvation is of the Lord. Thou art the one who sent his only Son to die upon the cross for our sin. Thou art the one, O God, who raised that Son of thine even from the dead. The one who now lives in the power of an endless life. We're thankful, O God, that he's risen and seated at thy right hand. And one day he will return, and he will gather his people unto himself. But Father, we thank thee for the gospel that thou hast given to us even to proclaim. We're thankful, O God, that thou hast revealed thyself to us, that we know thee this day, because thou hast shown thyself to us in thy precious word. And Lord, we're thankful for another year that children have gathered to this house, even Sunday morning by Sunday morning, and they have heard thy word. The book has been opened before them. The book has been read, and the book even has been taught. Lord, we're thankful to each servant of thine who has ministered throughout this year, who has brought the word of God to the children. We're thankful for each child that gathers and each child that has heard thy precious word. And Lord, we do pray even at the end of this year that thou will continue to bless and to undertake. We pray especially for the souls of each one that has heard thy word, even in the Sabbath school. Lord, that thou wilt speak to them, that thou wilt save those precious, never-dying souls. Lord, give help this day, even as the children come to take part. We thank thee, Lord, for help that's been given in the practices. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them even as they stand together and as they sing and as they bring thy word forth. Lord, that thou wilt undertake. Lord, we are thankful, O God, even for bringing thy servant here in safety this morning. We pray that thou wilt bless him as he will come in a little while to speak to each and to every one. That he will know the help and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, even as he stands and as he brings forth thy word. Lord, bless this day in thy house. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity of being here. We're thankful, O God, for watching over and for being that portion of help and of strength to each one, even over this last week. Lord, for that presence that we have enjoyed and experienced as thou hast continued with us, as thou hast watched over our going outs and our coming ins. Lord, remember us for good this day. Remember each family. Remember each one, O God, associated with this church. We're thinking especially of those that are mourning. We do remember Ronnie and remember Hazel. We remember, O God, that entire family circle. Lord, we're thankful for a testimony of a lady who gave her life to Jesus Christ. One whose soul is with the Lord. And we rejoice in this, that she has seen her Savior. She was ready. And now she is with him forevermore. But Lord, remember the family that are left behind. Comfort, sustain them. And even in these times of passing, Lord, may thy hand be upon them. And may thy hand, O God, even be used at this time to bring other loved ones in the family, even to thyself. Lord, life at best is very brief. Even as the hymn says, it's like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf. And, O God, how important it is that we are in time. Lord, may that be the realization. O God, open hearts this day. Open minds to the understanding that they are sinners before a holy God. And, Father, we pray that thou wilt have mercy, that thou wilt save precious, never-dying souls. Lord, remember us for good this day as we're found in thy house. Come and presence thyself amongst us. Come, O God, and be our portion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hymn 104. The hymn 104, the page is 218. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 104 will stand again as we sing, please.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
It's always a special day in our church calendar whenever the children and the young people of our Sabbath school are taking part. We're delighted to have them with us this morning. They've been practicing hard over the last number of Sunday mornings. And I did my best, even when I came in this morning, to put them off because I was constantly running about and they're up trying to practice. But it just shows you how well trained they were. They were ready because they didn't even flinch whenever I was running around getting things settled. So we welcome them. We're looking forward now. We're going to ask them to come and to take part. Thank you.
Joseph was Jacob's favourite son. He has given Joseph a special coat which had made his brothers jealous. Joseph's dream that they would all bow down to him made them even more jealous, and so they plotted to kill him. Reuben, the eldest brother, persuaded them to throw him instead into a pit, where they sold him as a slave to Potiphar's house in Egypt. They dipped his coat in blood and then told his father he was dead.
Genesis 37, verse 31 to 34. And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob took his coat, took his clothes, put sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days.
Genesis 39, verses 21 to 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper.
Shelter door, make this love forevermore.
dream which his wise men could not interpret. The butler then remembered about Joseph, and so Pharaoh sent for him, and once again God enabled Joseph to interpret the dream. Joseph told Pharaoh that there would be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine, and he would need to make preparation for his land during the famine.
Genesis 41, verse 15 and 16, and 38 to 40. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou.
As foretold in the dream, God brought to pass the 7 years of plenty, and Joseph built large storehouses and collected much grain. After this time, the famine began throughout the land. Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt and sent his sons to buy some. Joseph immediately recognized his brothers, but they did not know him. They bought sacks of grain, and unknown to them, Joseph put their money back in their sacks. He kept Simeon as a prisoner and told them that he would be released when they would bring their youngest brother to him. This was to prove that they were not spying out the land. On their return to their father, Jacob did not want to let Benjamin go, as he was afraid that he would not see him again. Eventually, when the food ran out, they had to return.
Genesis 42, verse 35 to 36. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in a sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid, and Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me.
Genesis 45, verse 3 to 5. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life.
Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for ye, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive.
On your behalf, let me thank all of the boys and the girls and the young people from our Sabbath school for coming this morning. It was fantastic to listen to them as they took part, and we want to say a massive thank you to each one of them for a job well done this morning. I want to thank the teachers as well for all of their sacrifices throughout the year in preparing lessons for them and then coming every Sunday to teach them. And certainly we do appreciate all of their efforts in teaching the children each and every Lord's Day morning. And I thank you as well to the parents for sending your children. As a church, we love to have children here taking part. We love to have children here in the meetings, both the Sunday school, the children's meetings, and indeed the Lord's Day. It's always a joy to have the young people and the children in our services. And I want to thank you for sending them faithfully throughout the year that has come to an end. We're going to sing one more hymn at this time, just before our brother Kyle comes. 704, the page is 460. If I come to Jesus, he will make me glad. He will give me pleasure when my heart is sad. And again, we'll stand together as we sing, please.
Jesus.
Good job. I wasn't taking part with the children. I can't even read the chorus without making a mistake. It's a joy to have with us as our speaker today, our brother Kyle Boyd. He is the leader of the children's work in our Crossgar congregation. First met Kyle whenever I was there as an assistant to the Reverend Dean in my fourth year of college. And it was lovely to get to know Kyle and even to see his love for the children and for the children's work. We're looking forward to our brother coming this evening to testify. We're making use of him. We're not just getting him down for the one meeting. He's staying for the day. And he's coming to testify, as I said, this evening. But this morning, he's come to speak to the children and to the young people of our Sabbath school. And we welcome him. We're going to hand the meeting over to him. And then at the end of the service, there is a prize giving, just in case I forget and start to walk to the door. If I walk past you, you stop me and then bring me back, because there looks as if there's some lovely stuff in the corner for you. And some of it might be very hard to hand over, because I love chocolate. But for now, Kyle, you're welcome. It's over to you.
You're all scallywags. Are you all sea dogs? Are you all parrots? Because I am a parrot. I'm going to take this off because it's really warm. And I'm going to take it on. I don't want to wreck my hair. But boys and girls, what was I? What was I there? With my sword and with my hat. What was I? A pirate. That's right, I was a pirate. And today what we're going to look at is, hopefully, we're going to look at digging for buried treasure. And we're going to be pirates. And hopefully, if the technology doesn't let us down, I should be able to control this. Or, okay, maybe Timothy could maybe just press the button for us. Okay, so today we're going to look for digging for buried treasure in the Bible. Okay? Imagine you're on a desert island. And imagine you see, you're on the desert island and it's beautiful and it's lovely. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see this coming. And it's a pirate ship. And pirates were a bit of a rogues. They were rogues. They used to come and try and steal things from people. And they would look for things. And they would look for jewels and gold and silver. And if you seen one of them coming, you would be afraid. Because they were coming for you. And if they were looking for treasure, they'd be looking for particular things. And here they are. They've landed. And they start to dig for treasure. And this is the treasure here, and you can see it's all gold and silver and jewels, and they would be obsessed with that. But boys and girls, how do they find the treasure? How do they find the treasure? Of course, they use a map. And they would look at the map and they would say, well, how are we going to find this treasure? But the important thing was the map had to have something on it. It had to have something on it. And is there anything you can see that I have here that looks familiar? What's here? What's this? An X, right? And normally on a pirate's map, there'd be an X that would mark the spot, and that would tell you where the treasure was. But it's by no coincidence that what I'm actually holding is a Bible. And for me, the greatest treasure of all is the treasure that is found in the Scriptures, in the Bible. And what we're going to look at today is how that we can find gold and silver in the Scriptures. Because this is what the Lord tells us. It is worth more than gold and silver. The words of the Lord are worth more than gold and silver. Because God's law is the Bible. And you might say, well, how can that be worth more than gold and silver? Well, you see, this book can give you eternal life. Because imagine if you wanted to live in a mansion like this, and it would cost a lot of treasure. There would be a lot of money required to buy a house like this. But boys and girls, you can have a treasure far greater than this. And it's a mansion in a city called heaven. And imagine it is a place where it's gold and silver, and there's lots of jewels. But imagine there's no night there, so you never have to go to bed. And there's no sickness there at all. It's a wonderful place. Well, that is the place that God has prepared for us and wants us to go when we die. Because it says in John 14, and 2, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You see, when Jesus spoke, he told the truth. What he said was right. But he also said that there was only one way in John 14 and 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, you can only get to Jesus, God, and get to your mansion in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why the Bible is worth more than gold and silver, because it prepares a mansion in heaven for you. But see, there's a problem, and the problem is that we can't get there on our own, because we have something called sin, and sin separates us from God. So that means that if we have sin in our life, we can never reach God because we have sinned. And you might say, well, what is sin? Sin is things like lying, not telling the truth, being disobedient to parents, murdering, stealing. Those are all extreme things, but even maybe telling a little white lie, well, that's still the same. In God's eyes, that is still a sin. And that means that your sin can never get you to heaven. You need to come to the Lord. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will come in and be with you. Because you see, Jesus stands at the door, and he's knocking and he's looking for you. But because of your sin, you can't get in. But if you call out to the Lord and ask him to forgive us of your sins, then he will come in and he'll hear your voice and he'll open the door and he'll come into you and he'll sup with you and he'll be with you. And it just means that he'll be your friend. He'll be your helpmate, a friend to you. You see, there's only one way that we can get to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, by coming to his door. Because there's no other way. You see, in this world today, the world likes to tell you lies. Oh, you can get to heaven by giving lots of money to the church, or doing really good charitable things, or, you know, those things will get you to heaven. And I'm not saying that those are bad things. Those are really, really good things, but they are not enough to get rid of your sin. You have to come to the Lord Jesus. He will give you salvation. And that's what we're going to look at today, the treasure of salvation in the Bible. The treasure of salvation, because salvation makes you happy. And there's only one way, but it makes you happy, okay? Because it says, if you go with the next one. Yeah, we're going to look at the treasure of salvation because it makes you happy. It makes you very, very happy. If you go to the next slide. Yeah, this is the slide I was looking for. Got to be a bit confused there. It says in Psalm 146, happy is he. Happy is he that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord God. You see, boys and girls, a lot of people in this world very unhappy. Very grumpy. People, I can be grumpy too. If I get hangry, so that's like sort of combination between grumpy and hungry. But we can be a bit grumpy. And sometimes we can be, there's people in the world that we meet, and they can be very unhappy. And they can have lots of anxiety. And they can worry about lots of things. I think it's because they're not trusting in the Lord. Because if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes you happy. That is how you're truly happy. You see, we were created to read God's word and to worship him and to honor him and to live for him. And then when you have that, you have contentment and you're happy. And you see, boys and girls, you need to dig for this treasure every day. Because whenever you find the treasure of salvation in the Bible, you need to dig for it every day. And that means you basically need to read your Bible. And that's where a lot of people go wrong, me included. Sometimes you can just get into a wee bad rut and you're not just committing that time to the Lord every day. But it's important to read your Bible every day. But there's a certain thing that you should do. You just do, open the Bible and start reading. What you should first of all do is you need to pray. You need to pray. And before you read your Bible, you need to say, Lord, help me to learn what I'm reading. Help me to understand it. And then the next thing you do, the second thing, is you read it. And you might say to me, well, oh, you know, here's Kyle and he's telling me to read the Bible and it's really confusing and I don't understand and there's a lot to read. But it's okay just to read a little bit. See, if you read just a verse every day, that's good. That's enough. Maybe you could read a chapter. Maybe you could read two. But as long as you read a little and you read it slowly to understand it. And then the third thing is you think about it. And you think about it and you say, well, what is God trying to tell me here? How am I going to do this thing? Is he showing me the way? And it's important whenever you get a little bit older and maybe you have life choices to make and you need to think about things and you need to say, well, how is the Lord directing me? Then the fourth thing, then you need to pray again and ask God to help you to obey what you've read. And then the fifth thing is, you need to obey, and you need to do what the Lord is telling you. Because you can imagine a pirate, and he comes and he digs for treasure, and he finds a treasure, and then he just leaves it there. No pirate would ever do that. And that's the same for you reading the Bible. You read the Bible and you do it all, but you take it with you. You put it in your mind, and you think about it, and you think about it every day. And sometimes that's hard to do. Some older men, they would say that you meditate on the word, but that just means you think about it and you try and understand it. And that's why it's important sometimes not to read too much, just read a few verses and really think about those things. But how often should you dig for these things? How often should you dig for these treasures in the Bible? Well, every day. Really, every day. Because you see, you start one day, and then one day turns into two, and then three, and then it's a week. And then you haven't read. And then you're getting a bit worried, and then things are becoming more difficult. And that happens to me sometimes. See, at holiday times, when I'm away, you just get out of your routine a wee bit, and then just things can just happen. So you need to make sure you spend that time with the Lord. You need to read every day. And then, thirdly, you need to be careful. And this is the main part of this story, is because you can find treasures, you can have salvation, but there's enemies out there. There's people out there, and they're out to get you. And what they want to do is they don't want you to read the Bible at all. They're a bit like pirates. They want to steal your treasure. They don't want you to think about God. They don't want you to understand the Bible. They don't want you to even come to church. And these are some of the people we're going to meet now. So the first one we're going to meet, well, this is your enemies here. They're a bit of a rogue bunch. And this is the first one. And his name is Captain I Can't. And we've all met him. Captain I Can't, and he's a bit of an invisible pirate. And he says things like this: I can't read my Bible. I can't get up early to read it, because I have to go to school, or I'm not going to do it at night because I get too tired. It's just too difficult. I can't do it. I couldn't become a Christian because I wouldn't be good enough. That's what Captain I Can't says. Oh, I could never be a Christian because I'm never going to be good enough. But you see, Captain I Can't's a liar. Because you can do these things. God knows what you need and the help that you need. He knows that sometimes you're a little bit tired in the morning or in the evening, but he knows that you can understand his word. Don't let Captain I Can't put you off from reading your Bible. Make sure Captain I Can't is away so you can really put down, get into your Bible and to read about the treasures of heaven. Because Captain I Can't will try to stop you reading God's word, stealing your treasure, and he'll tie you up. And you see, if you're not saved today, that's very dangerous, because you need to read the word of God to understand about salvation. That's why God has given us this book. And then his Holy Spirit comes in and works in your hearts. But that's why you need to read the Bible. So there's Captain I Can't. Then the next one is Private Putitoff. Private Putitoff. And he comes along and he says things like, don't worry, you read the Bible sometimes, but don't worry about it. Put it off a little bit. Do it the next day. Or don't worry about it, you're too tired tonight. Don't worry. Or maybe he'll say things like, you don't need to become a Christian. Don't worry. None of your family's Christians, so it's all right for you. Don't worry about that. And he'll maybe say, listen, tell you what, become a Christian when you're a teenager. And then you become a teenager. And then he'll say things like, listen, don't worry about it. Become a Christian when you get married. And then when you get married, he'll say, listen, don't worry about it. Become a Christian when you get old. And you see, Private Putitoff is dangerous because he will rob you of salvation. He'll say, just put it off a little bit longer. Just put it off a little bit longer. But how long will the Lord strive with you? The Lord only strives a certain time, and then sometimes he doesn't strive any longer. And those people can be lost. So don't let Private Putitoff steal your treasure, either, boys and girls. Okay? The next one then is Sir Sinful. Sir Sinful. And he tempts you to do bad things. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. Disobeying, being angry, maybe using the Lord's name in vain, frustration, being mean to others, stealing. These are all sinful things. And even as Christians, sometimes Sir Sinful can come in and make us do things that we don't want. And he's trying to tell you that sin is fun, that the world is great, that the world will give you everything that you want. But if you talk to a lot of people that have been in the world, they'll say that for a season, yes, for a time, you'll be happy. But then you'll really be unhappy. You'll really, really be unhappy. And it's not nice. And then you end up back in the same position. So there's Sir Sinful. He'll come in and he'll try and ruin your life. And you need to tie him up as well. Because you need, as a Christian, we need to be honouring the Lord. And how do we do that? Well, by by praying and reading our Bible and just trying to live our life as Christians. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect by any means. A lot of this world think that Christians, oh, they're just perfect and they do no wrong. We are just the same as everybody else, but we're just trying to honor the Lord in all that we do. But there's somebody else that you're, there's another enemy. And his name, you maybe see him actually on the TV and in the classroom and maybe on the internet. And his name is Admiral, I can never say that word, Admiral Unbelief, okay? And he doesn't try and trick you a wee bit. He doesn't trick you at all. He just come out and say it. He'll say things like, God isn't real. And that the world wasn't created in 6 days, and that it was evolution. We all came from monkeys. Things like that. That's what Admiral Unbelief will say. He'll not believe what the Bible says. And he'll just say it. And you meet people like this today in our world, and they'll just say, I don't believe in God. And you don't want to listen to him, because he wants you to lose your faith. You want to tie him up, because they're dangerous. They are people that keep you away from God. You see, there's so many treasures in this book that you can have, boys and girls. You can have contentment in life. You can have enjoyment in life. You can have a peace that passes all understanding. That means that God comes into your life and just controls your life. Not in a way that you're a robot, but he's just with you every step of the way. Have you ever had a time where it's been difficult? Maybe you've been sad. Maybe you've went through a difficult period. But God can be your friend. He is the one that sticketh closer than a brother. But how do you tie up these enemies? How do you tie up these enemies? Well, the first thing you need to do is we need to tell God. We need to tell God, okay? And we need to tell God that we want to, there's these enemies in our life. We're doing these sins that we want, but we don't want to do them anymore. And it says in John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That just means that God, if we confess our sin, if we tell him the things that we've done wrong, he'll confess our sins and he'll take them all away. Then you need to ask God. You need to ask God to help you to read your Bible and to stay away from your enemies. Because that can happen sometimes even as Christians. Just it can be difficult to get that time, or sometimes just can be difficult in life to have that time to do it. You need to ask God to help you to keep away from your enemies, to keep you on the right path. Because there's a broad road that leads to destruction, but there's a narrow way, and that's God's way. And we want to keep on that path, but sometimes we can deviate a little bit. Sometimes as we get older, we can do things we don't mean. But we just need to ask God to help us and to forgive us of our sins. Then, thirdly, we need to believe God. That means to trust in God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11. We need to trust in God. We need to ask him to take away our sins and to live for him. And then fourthly, we need to obey God. We need to sit down and read our Bible as much as we can. And if you even don't have a Bible, I'm sure there'll be people here who will certainly give you a Bible. But Bibles are so important because they give you so many riches, far greater than silver and gold. Okay? And we need to try and obey God. Because what he gives us is salvation. The Lord gives us salvation. Just like it says in your text here, salvation is of the Lord. That salvation is of the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe perhaps you've never trusted in Jesus. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not interested in those things. Maybe you've come across Captain I Can't or Admiral Unbelief. Or maybe you've come across Sir Sinful. And you thought, oh, I could never be a Christian. I can never do those things. You don't want to listen. That's Satan trying to talk to you. But God loves you. And even though you've done those sinful things, he sent his son to die for you. God sent his son to die for you. And that's what John 3:16 basically says. For God so loved the world, he loved you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, his only son, that whosoever believeth in him or trusteth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he will come in and he will give you the salvation, and you can trust in him and you can live for him. Because there's so many treasures in this book that I can't even begin to tell you about. And there's men that have been studying this book for years, and it's a book that just keeps giving. Just keeps giving. And you know why? Because it's a living book. Because God wrote it and God is in it. But if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then I pray that you'll do it today. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be saved. Today is the day to be saved. What a day that would be, that somebody would come in and trust in the Lord Jesus. But boys and girls and young people, maybe you are a Christian and maybe you're just going through a difficult time. Look out for these enemies. Remember, keep reading your Bible and trusting in God. And look out for the enemies, because they'll be around the corner at any time. And sometimes they come and then they'll go away again, and then they'll come back again and try and trick you up again. So you be careful and look out for them and keep trusting in God. You listen really well, so we'll just close in a wee word of prayer and then I'll hand it over to Timothy, okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we come to you today, we just thank you, Lord, for this story of treasures in the Bible. And we're thankful for what you've done for us, Lord, and how that we can read those treasures and understand those treasures, but how that we need to look out for our enemies, Lord. And we pray, Lord, you'll undertake for us. Pray, Lord, put a hedge around about us as we go from day to day. And we ask, Lord, even if there's any that are not saved today in this meeting, that you will let them think about what they've heard today and put their trust in Jesus. For it's in your name we ask these things. Amen.
For coming and speaking to the children, and I was thinking to myself, all of those directives even in regards to reading and praying, and they're not just for children. It's a very simple message in terms of bringing the children, but even for adults as well. How often unbelief can come into an adult, how often even the sin of just being, of putting it off, can come into an adult. And I do want to thank Kyle for coming today and for speaking, not just to the children, but to all of us this morning. Now, we're going to hand these out now. I'm going to pass them to Kyle, call the names, and then one by one. These are for all of the children for their attendance throughout the year, for coming week by week. So first of all, Sam Gibson. Judah. Jessica Gibson. Louise Cuthbertson.
Thank you.
Hannah Cuthbertson.
Thank you.
Martha Linney. Now, as a dutiful parent, let me encourage all of you children to share with your parents whenever you have a wonderful chocolate. Those are too big of bars to keep for yourself. So make sure you share. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity of being here this morning. We thank you for all the help that's been given to each one that has taken part. Lord, we do rejoice that thy book is a wonderful living book from God. We thank thee for the treasures that are found within it. And Lord, we thank thee especially for showing us who we are, that we are sinners that need salvation, and for showing us that wonderful salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, speak on through thy word even now. Bless us throughout this day. Bring us again tonight, we pray. We bring others even with us. And give us a wonderful night in thy house as we hear of the grace of God, even in the life of Christ. Be with us and bless us in Jesus' name.